Well, let me say it again, Merry Christmas. I tell you, who's ready for Wednesday? Anybody actually ready for Wednesday? Shopping done? Anybody not ready for Wednesday? Still some Amazon orders to come in. Walmart's taking 3 weeks to deliver the car that they didn't have in the store. Yes. We had that this week, so. Well, indeed, it is Christmas, and we are excited and exhausted, I think, too. It's a very tiring season. And at the opening of service today, you watched a video of the song, O Come Emmanuel, and it was beautifully done. It intermingled English and Hebrew, provided for us a wonderful backdrop of the Tower of David there in Jerusalem, the cathedral there in Jerusalem, great history, wonderful place, beautiful scene, and indeed the song was presented in a very unique and wonderful way. And we are examining the lyrics of Christmas this season, taking a look at some hymns that are favorites, not only of me, but of so many. They're very familiar ones. Ones like Hark the Herald Angels Sing, in which the announcement by the angels to the shepherds that Christ has come, that the Savior of the world has been presented, and of course that wonderful hymn being penned by Charles Wesley, rather noted and wonderful, fluent songwriter of the past, and so we celebrate him today and his works. And of course, we talked about a little town of Bethlehem and what has gone on in that town, that from the town has come a son and a king, and from that town has come one that will save the people, and we celebrate that today. And of course, we talked about Silent Night, Holy Night, and we spoke on the incarnation of Jesus Christ, that God has come. The Divine One, the Holy One, the Creator has manifested and has dwelt among us. And indeed, that is good news, good news. And so we continue our journey today by examining O Come Emmanuel. And this hymn, originally written in Latin. I remember in high school there was Spanish and German and French, and then there was up in the corner of the building a class that taught Latin. That class no longer is there, and that has since, I think, in just about every school has gone away. Maybe it still exists in a few places that I'm unaware of, but they would teach Latin, and there would be a class full of 2 to 3 students, and they would examine this wonderful and beautiful and old language. And our story begins there, about 1,200 years ago in monastic life. It's the 8th of the 9th century at this point. And it's the Christmas season. And for the Christmas season, just like we do, there was preparation to get there. Now we all have those preparations, don't we? We have them in our home. We try to make sure that we manage times of rest and times of labor for Christmas. But there tends to be a lot that goes on during this time. I know in our home we have an Advent box, and that's one of the items that we prepare with. We open the Advent box every day, and there's something, a note within that Advent box for our children, in which they are able to do an activity or able to get a treat or something of that nature. And it varies. It's always different. But we prepare in that way. We also prepare by putting up a Christmas tree, and we display that tree for that has so many memories on it. And we buy new ornaments each year, and pretty soon the tree's just going to fall down because it's so heavy with all the ornaments that are on it. And so we have this tree. And then we bake cookies. We did cookies this week, and we prepared in that way. And so there's all of these activities and these things that go on, and maybe you have them too. Well, for monastic life, there was preparation as well. About a week out, they would begin to recite the antiphon. And this was sayings. Each night was a different one. Each night they would recite together, and it would tell them something about Jesus, something of great profound truth and great profound hope. And so you would have these words that would be presented beginning 7 days out. And based on our calendar now, we begin on December the 17th this year. And these seven sayings, the first being, O wisdom coming forth from the mouth of Most High, reaching from one end to the other, mightily and sweetly ordering all things, come and teach us the way of prudence. And they would recite this, and it would live within them, and they would voice it together. On the second night, O Adonai, and leader of the house of Israel, who appeared to Moses in the fire of the burning bush and gave him the law on Sinai, come and redeem us with an outstretched arm. And they would recite this together, and they would celebrate Jesus. And then on the third night, O root of Jesse, standing as a sign among the peoples, before you kings were shut their mouths, to you the nations will make their prayer, come and deliver us, and delay no longer. And night after night they would recite these, O King of David, the scepter of the house of Israel, you open and no one can shut. You shut and no one can open. Come and lead the prisoners from the prison house, those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of truth. And it builds. O morning star, splendor of light, eternal and sun of righteousness, come and lighten those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death. And then on the 22nd, O King of nations and their desire, the cornerstone making both one, come and save the human race which you fashioned from clay. And then on Christmas Eve, they would gather together and they would recite these words, O Emmanuel, our King and our Lawgiver, the hope of the nations and their Savior, come and save us, O Lord, our God. And so these words would be recited in the monastic life, and it would remind them as they prepared their hearts for Christmas Day that indeed Jesus Christ had come and had dwelt among the people. The words create an acrostic with each of the second words, because the first word is O, and each of those second words would form a word, sarkor, meaning I will be present tomorrow. And as they prepared their hearts through each of these sayings, arriving at Christmas Eve, knowing that the next day was Christmas Day, a day of wonderful celebration. Well, by the 12th century, the music was added to it, and the hymn was composed. And then in the 18th century, John Mason Neal, who is credited for O Come, Emmanuel, found it buried in a list of other songs from the early 18th century, and he brought it back to new life, releasing it in a hymn book of his own. And as time moved along, verses were rearranged and things were moved around. And even yet today, depending on who the artist is, you might hear O Come Emmanuel sung in various ways. But there's something that remains the same. What remains the same is the anthem of Emmanuel, and the descriptiveness of that hymn, how it describes the work of Jesus Christ. And so today, as we observed it on the screen, and as we sing it this Christmas season, the essence of that original Latin text remains by singing, O come, Emmanuel, with the truth that is stretched and immersed within it. We today are participating. We're participating in a centuries-old ritual. And indeed, I think that that's something beautiful, that the words of the psalm ring true and loud within our hearts today as they did in the 8th and the 9th century. And so here we have these words, O come, Emmanuel, the story of a beloved Christmas hymn and one that is noted within and inspired by the book of Matthew. Join me in Matthew chapter 1 today. Matthew chapter 1. The writer of Matthew pens these words. Verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and she shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Father, we are grateful today. We are thankful for this hymn. We are thankful for this word of truth that is found within Matthew. Now, God, would you journey with us and encourage our hearts today? Let us, Father, focus on you today. Let us focus on the wonderful gift that is Jesus Christ. Let us, Father, behold what the Holy Spirit has done and what the Holy Spirit continues to do. We honor you today, Father, and we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, our scene is the birth scene of Jesus. I told you a few weeks ago when we began that when we are in the Christmas season, that the hymns of Christmas revolve around the central idea of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. That means that Christ has come, that God has taken on flesh and has dwelt among the people, that he might identify, that he might save, that he might sanctify, that he might provide life to. And it could only be through and by the incarnation of God himself. And so this passage here describing the birth of Jesus means that we return yet again to the scene, to the birth scene that so many Christmas hymns have been inspired by and have constructed wonderful phrases like we've found here within O come, Emmanuel. You'll notice that Matthew draws there from a prophet, and he draws from Isaiah. Let me read it for you real quick. He says, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. When Isaiah said those words, he said them to King Ahaz. Now, King Ahaz was the leader of Judah, and the nations are surrounding Judah at this point. And Ahaz feels as though he is pained by destruction that is surely to come his way. And the prophet comes to the king And he provides these words of comfort by saying, Emmanuel will come. Emmanuel is with us. In other words, fear not, because God will come. Now, if you know anything about your context here, you know that that didn't matter a whole lot to King Ahaz. Because he was not one that necessarily wanted God to be with him. And he made great effort in order to reject God, going down in history as one of the evil kings. Also being noted as one that desecrated the temple. And one that built altars to pagan gods. And so he had no interest in God being with him. But still, Matthew draws from history. And he says, when the walls feel as though that they're caving in, and when the appointed time has come, God with us will arrive. Emmanuel will be here. And from the words of the hymn and from the words of Matthew, we are told of Emmanuel, God with us. Well, there's the preparation of Emmanuel. The preparation. The song in its modern form takes us on a journey, but the words from the monastic life take us on a more expanded journey. Words like captive and exile remind us of the days of Egypt and Babylon, where God's people found themselves enslaved by another, where God's people found themselves torn from their land and brought to another place entirely, and they longed for redemption, and they longed for freedom. And as the psalmist pens in multiple places and in multiple ways, sitting on the shores of Babylon, weeping and longing to go home again. These are the words of history that the hymn remind us of captivity and exile. Words like wisdom and word remind us of the manifested Lord Jesus. Wisdom literature, of course, often associated with Jesus being manifested. John, of course, providing us with beautiful language in the opening of his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in the beginning, he was with God. Telling us elsewhere, and the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us. This manifested Word. And so as they would recite this hymn all those centuries ago, they would be reminded on that second night of the wisdom that has come. The references to Sinai and law remind us of the following, the departure from Egypt, and the Israelites arrive at Mount Sinai where Moses goes to the top and receives the law. The law serving as direction for them. The law serving as governance for them. The law giving them an identity. The law highlighting their own depravity and their own sin. The law which stood in place until Jesus would come and would fulfill all things through and by his great love and his great sacrifice and his wonderful redemption through and by life. The mention of Jesse and David take us back to the calling of a king, where the prophet Samuel comes to the home of Jesse, surveying all of the sons, says, there is one more, isn't there? I have one in the field, Jesse the father says. He's tending to the sheep. Samuel visits with David, and he knows that he is God's anointed one. And so from the house of Jesse and from the line of David comes our Lord Jesus. And these words and these sayings remind us that indeed as King David will come and save his people from sin and from tyranny, Jesus from the line of David, from the root of Jesse, will be born to save his people and to be their king. And then the mention of day spring, well, that shows us a transition from light to dark, from day to night. Oh, come thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. We're reminded here of the words of our Lord, where he makes proclamation, I am the light of the world. I come to shed light on humanity. Followed by the words of John in the first epistle, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in light, as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And so this word of the morning star that is coming, this light that shines in the darkness, dispelling the shadows around and saying, indeed, the Lord has come and he has dwelt among us. And then finally culminating in night number 7, Christmas Eve. Culminating in that 7th night where they would sing of Emmanuel. And they would be reminded that throughout the history, from Sinai to bondage, through the proclamation of so many, that Emmanuel has come, that God is indeed with us. And then there's the arrival of Emmanuel. Arrival of Emmanuel, which means that God is with us. It means I am valued. It means that God would dwell with us, which means that he loves us. It means that I am not enough, for indeed Emmanuel has to come. That God would come means that I needed him, that I could not do it. This speaks to our own depravity. As the final words of the fourth stanza of one of the renditions of O Come Emmanuel says, from depths of hell your people save and give them victory over the grave. Indeed, Emmanuel saves. Indeed, Emmanuel comes. Indeed, Emmanuel highlights the depravity of you and of me and of our desperate need for a Savior that could only be God manifested, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, from hell Emmanuel has saved us. From the grave Emmanuel has brought victory. God, the creator of the universe, is with us, which means that I have the opportunity to have life forever with him. It means I am not alone. Emmanuel means I'm not alone. And in this season of hope, there are many that are experiencing loneliness. I would remind you that if you feel alone today, you are not alone. For the promise of Emmanuel remains that he is with us. God in his promise says that he is with us. So we prepare for Emmanuel. There's great preparation that has happened. The scriptures attest to this and provide this narrative for us. There's the arrival of Emmanuel. God is with us. I'm not alone. And then there's the return of Emmanuel. The return of Emmanuel. O come, Emmanuel remains a song of anticipation. It anticipates the first advent of Jesus and celebrates it. But then it also anticipates the second coming, the second advent of Jesus. God has come and dwells among humanity. The advent of Jesus is worth celebrating. And we do celebrate it. But Emmanuel has come, and Emmanuel will return. And he will return, and he will call together all of time. And into eternity, those who believe in him will be ushered in. Emmanuel is coming again. He's coming again. What do we do in the meantime? What do we do in the meantime? Get ready. The writer tells us something in the refrain that's spoken over and over and over again. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. And so as we rejoice today with Emmanuel, and as we decide today that we will honor Christmas in a special and in a profound way, as we consider the words of the writer that Emmanuel has come, that Emmanuel is with us, that the darkness has been defeated, and that the light has come. And we celebrate Emmanuel today and honor him through the lighting of candles and in recognizing that Emmanuel is with us today. As we sing.
Silent night, holy night.
Close your eyes with me. I want you to reflect for a moment as the piano softly sings for us. Are you ready this Christmas season to be with Jesus Christ for eternity? My friend, there's no other way to celebrate this season than to celebrate it in the arms of Christ. There's no other way to celebrate than to recognize that Emmanuel has come and he's dwelling amongst us and has and will save. I don't know your heart today, but I pray that you are a Christian. There's only one way to be sure, and that's to call upon the name of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, and we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, that indeed he will bring salvation to our lives. The candle day represents that flame of Jesus Christ that goes on forever and ever and ever and illuminates eternity. Maybe today you would like to respond to an altar of prayer, inviting Jesus into your heart or just asking him to touch you this season. Maybe you've been following for decades now, but there's just something dry this season, something that's just not right. Let the light guide you today to a place of prayer, asking that God would touch you in a profound and wonderful way. The altars are available for you today as the team leads us in that song. Once again, reflect on the light. Be encouraged by the light. Celebrate the light of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, today.
Silent night, holy night.
Father, indeed, we are grateful and we are thankful. And Father, through the song today and through the underpinning of the sweet piano that we hear, and by the light that has been presented before us from the Advent candle down to each of our candles, sharing together in community today and recognizing that Emmanuel has come. Sing who? Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us. We thank you today, Father. We thank you today for the light that is Jesus, for the sacrifice that is our Lord. And Father, as we approach Wednesday, let us pause in the midst of all of the chaos and thank you. And know that you are with us always. always with us. Father, we look to your coming again. When Emmanuel will return, let us rejoice in the meantime. Let us be ready to receive him. And as a community today, Father, we recognize through the lighted candle that we each carry a light to this world. We extinguish it today together, but Father, it lives on in our hearts. And so today, Father, as we close this prayer, and as we say amen, let us do so by blowing out our candle and in celebrating indeed that the true light is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.